Hello, this is Daniel Orton, pastor of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church in Marion, Kentucky. It is our desire to see hurting hearts and minds healed as they are born again into the kingdom of God. It is my desire that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help bring you closer to Jesus.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Now, if you did not receive everything that you, if you did not receive everything that God had for you during this worship service today, I believe that what I have to say today, God has been stirring my spirit during the course of prayer yesterday and today. I felt something very deep within me. This thing that I'm going to talk to you about today, I truly believe will help you understand how to receive everything God has for you. If you didn't receive everything God had for you in that service earlier today, this is the key. And this is the reason why that may not have worked for you. I truly believe this is the reason why it didn't work. And I truly believe if you will listen to what is being said today, if you will open up your heart and let God work in you as He wants to work in you, that you will receive all that you need before you leave this service today. Because I know that a lot of people in this room are missing elements of this message today. So if you would, God wants to speak to someone today. Let's all stand. Let's all stand together. And I'm going to be turning today to the book of Acts, chapter number 19. Book of Acts, chapter number 19. If you would, Bobby or somebody, reach that thing and just hit the arrow buttons. That's all you got to do. So Acts, chapter number 19. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. It's not all that... Verse number 1 of Acts chapter number 19, and it says at the beginning, when Paul, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Has anyone ever heard of this thing called the Holy Ghost? Well, it looks like some of you have never heard there's such a thing as the Holy Ghost. Well, it is here, it is available, and it is the key that we all need. He said, we've not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said to them, how then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with water. John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So if you would, I'm going to turn to the book of John now, chapter number 3 and verse number 5. John chapter 3, verse number 5. Probably sounds pretty familiar to a lot of you. It's up on the screen behind me, if at least it should be. It is. Good. John 3, verse number 5 is incredibly simple and incredibly familiar to a lot of people. Verily, verily, I say to thee, Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Let's all pray together. Jesus, we love you. All that you've already done in this service and all that you want to do with the remainder of this service. I thank you for all that you're going to do during classes later. I thank you for everything that you... I pray that you would help me to say these words today the way that you would help me to say them. Lord, take control. Take everything that I have. This message be what you would have spoken to these people, Lord. I pray that your Spirit would flow in this place. Pray that your Spirit would hold us captive and that we would hear. Open every heart, open every mind to hear what you have to say to your people today. In Jesus' name, Lord, you are the holy and righteous God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you are not already seated. I recently read a quote that said this, when cooking, follow your heart. When baking, follow the recipe. When cooking, follow your heart. When baking, follow the recipe. Anyway, that's... do we have anyone in here who does any cooking at all? Okay, we got a few you guys, all right. Have anyone who has ever attempted making some baked goods in this place? Not as many. Not as many. I remember when I first started trying to do some baking and all this, making cookies and stuff for the church and making brownies and all that kind of stuff. My mom said, I don't know, you might want to be careful how you do that because that's kind of complicated. And my answer was this, I know how to follow a recipe. If I have a recipe book in front of me, I can do what it says. I know if I have the cups, I can pour the sugar in to the 2-cup line, pour it in, and if it says put in 3 cups of this, I'll put in 3 cups of that. It says 2 tablespoons, 2 tablespoons. I am pretty good at following instructions if you can lay instructions in front of me. Now, box cakes are incredibly easy because they did a whole lot of it for you. And mom was acting like I should be nervous about box cakes. Box cakes, if they've got a recipe, I can follow a recipe. I'm pretty good at following recipes. The problem comes when you don't pay attention or you skip a step or you miss a step. If you you know what? It still tastes good. But yes, following every step is incredibly important. It makes you miss one little thing. But anyway, on the other hand, I have watched a lot of cooking competitions that come on Food Network, those types of things. I watch a lot of guys. Yeah. All those shows heavily feature people who have to use their gut reactions based on however many years of experience they may have to use the ingredients on hand to create some sort of dish for the judges. And they have no recipe on hand. They sometimes the prompt is as general as make us a lunch dish. Sometimes the prompt is as specific as make me a beef Wellington. If it were me on that stage, I would utterly be lost. Because I have very little experience in being able to do the... You have to have followed a few recipes to ever be able to follow your heart. Before you can ever learn to follow your heart in the kitchen, you first have to learn to follow a few recipes. You have to know that salt plus paprika plus flour plus this plus that all results in whatever dish you may want. You have to have some very technical stuff. If you can't just necessarily make a beef Wellington without a recipe if you've never made a beef Wellington with a recipe. Yeah, so that's the reason some people out there who are like, yeah, if it were me on that stage, I would be utterly lost. When I'm in the kitchen, I have my recipe book. I have Pinterest pulled up. I'm reading the back of the box cake, and I'm double-checking it after every teaspoon to make sure I don't mess it up because I'm not ready to beat Bobby Flay, avoid the chopped chopping block, or be the next Master Chef in America. Yeah. Or the Iron Chef, yeah, any of those things. I ain't ready for any of those things. The title of the cooking show that would probably best describe my experience would be Kitchen Nightmares. This is why one show in particular really fascinates me, and this is what I was talking about to Mama and Daddy before I left today. This show called Cutthroat Kitchen. It aired its final episode in 2017, and it. But for the course of 15 seasons, Alton Brown would come out, and he would introduce the chefs with his biting sarcasm, and he would say, "Now we have a I have a box with me, $100,000, and I have $20,000 for each of you. You're going to all compete to win $20,000, but I will tell you, most of your cash is going to go back inside the box before the day is over," and all of this. They would then hear about their three rounds to come up ahead, and they would have three rounds of cooking challenges to make an appetizer, entree, and dessert. It doesn't sound hard if you're a pro like these guys, but to me it sounds terrifying. And to them, it ends up sounding terrifying. Here's the twist. Every round, the host tells them, make the dish, give them 60 seconds to grab all your ingredients, and then you have to face the challenge, which is an auction for sabotages to give to your fellow cooks. It could be something as simple as, all your chicken has to come from chicken noodle soup cans. Or it could be you have to stand still for 5 minutes while everyone else cooks. And a lot of times they would say, whoever gets that sabotage, oh, they're going to lose. For sure, they're going to lose. And a lot of times they were right, but not always. Because some guy is just so good at cooking that he can make it past whatever sabotage they give him. But there's one sabotage that almost without fail hurt someone. And it wasn't anything that was for sale. It was something that these people did to themselves. They were sabotaged by their own efforts. When they would come out of their 60-second crunch time to grab all their ingredients, and they would come out and they would suddenly realize, oh no, I forgot an important ingredient. Your assignment is to make chicken cacciatore. And they come out and say, oh no, I forgot to get chicken. Your assignment is to make beef Wellington and I have no beef. Your assignment is to make ice cream and they forgot the milk. You can't do those things without those ingredients. The main ingredient. They come out and their assignment was to make pancakes. I have no flour. I have no flour. I have no. The basic, most important ingredient. There are some things in a recipe that no matter how good you are absolutely necessary. And if you don't have that one ingredient, some ingredients have good substitutions. Some ingredients offer substitutions, but some ingredients, you cannot forget that ingredient. You can't substitute chicken. You can't substitute chicken for a chicken cacciatore. It's in the name. You can't substitute. Now, the only thing on that list that you can really replace is probably milk if you've got some sort of milk substitute out there. There are some of those, but that's the only one. When it comes to a recipe, some ingredients are absolutely necessary. And so it is with our topic today. Every step matters. Every step matters. I talked about it today. I already read it to you. Came to guys. Paul bumped into those disciples and he asked them if they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they said, I've never even heard of that. I've never heard of the Holy Ghost. I don't know what that is. He then took the step back. He's like, okay, so you missed that step. Let's go back a step. How were you baptized? The way that John baptized us. In translation, John baptized people to repentance. So they hadn't done the baptism step either. They've only accomplished one step, and that's repentance. Now, where am I getting my list from? Does anyone know where I'm getting my list from? Acts 2:38, Bobby. Genius. Yeah, it's not common sense outside of this room, I assure you. It's not common sense, and it's not common sense at some of the churches down the road. Down here, we have made sure you know those steps, and a lot of you can quote them back to me. But I have a question for you. How many of you have done every step in that list? How many of you have been baptized in Jesus' name? I know a few of you have. I know a few of you that are not raising your hand have. How many of you guys have received the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues? Once again, that's not everyone in the room. So, how many of you know that list of steps very well? How many of you have not listened to every one of those steps? It's obvious in this place. When you are having this moment in church that we had this morning where the Spirit is moving, we have issues with getting in touch with the Spirit if we do not have the Spirit. We have issues hearing the name of Jesus if we've never applied the name of Jesus to our lives. It is necessary. Every step matters. Praise the Lord. Every step matters. Now, they had done the one step. They had repented. It was incredibly integral that you repent of your sins. We have to repent of our sins. Jesus, now of course, Acts 2:38, it says, Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It goes on to say, this promise is to you, to your children, to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Elsewhere in the Bible, it is said that God once winked at this time of ignorance, but now He calls all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere are to repent. Now, why does that matter? Well, that's not the answer, but thank you for attempting, because it does. There's more than just because for an answer. You see, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus put it this way. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everyone to come to repentance, because if you don't repent, you will perish. If you don't repent, you will perish. You see, we get that list in the book of Revelation, that the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the fearful and all those other sins and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If we have not repented, then you will die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, then you will not be going to heaven. Does anyone want to go to heaven in this place today? We have to go to heaven if we do not repent of our sins. You know, you don't want to go without repentance. Look, all have sinned. All have sinned. Does anyone know the Ten Commandments? Somebody tell me one of the Ten Commandments. I heard someone say, thou shalt not kill. We're going to go with that one. I heard someone say, thou shalt not kill. You see, God said in the book, God said when he was listing off stuff, he said, you see, it says, thou shalt not kill. And we all know, I don't think anyone in this room's ever murdered anybody. I'm gonna go with that. But Jesus said that he views hatred as the same thing as murder. Has anyone in this room ever hated anybody? Okay, we got a room full of murderers today. So, you've sinned. Okay, he said, thou shalt not lie. Has anyone ever lied today? Has anyone ever lied in your lifetime? We got a room of lying murderers. Anyone ever even stolen a candy bar before? Lying murderous thieves in this place. Anyone ever? Jesus said, I heard someone mention adultery. Okay. How many of you guys? Jesus put it this way. He said, if you've ever lusted after someone in your heart, you have committed adultery. And yes, fornication and adultery are put under the same banner. So, I don't even have to ask. Now I'm assuming on some of y'all that I don't have to use the ubiquitous lusted after. Sex outside of marriage is... So, how many of you guys have... I'm not asking you to list out your history here in this place, but your faces are telling me that I see some lying, adulterous murderers that have stolen plenty of times. At least one time's all it takes for this sin to be added to your record. And yeah, I know. I'm sure that people have stolen more. I'm sure people have done more of these things. And there's the question. I'm sure that there's people who've done higher than these things, but I put it at the minimum. We listed the basic 10, and I assure you there's more than the 10 commandments that are sin. I didn't ask how many of you guys have dishonored the Sabbath day. I didn't ask you how many of you have taken the name of the Lord in vain. I didn't ask you how many of you guys have coveted. I didn't ask you how many of you guys have done some of the other things or the sins that are not in the top 10 list. But we are all in need of repentance. The Apostle Paul said that I die daily. We have to die out to ourselves. Now, it said that if a corn of wheat or a seed, anyone ever seen a seed before? Good, I'm glad we know what seeds are. It's farming country out here. I figure a few guys have probably seen seeds before. If a seed sits on a shelf, it will never grow. If a seed sits on a shelf, it's never going to grow. But if you will bury that seed, and it will break open, if the seed dies, it will produce much fruit. God wants to do something with your life. He wants to make you more than you are right now. He wants to do so much more with you. But until you have died out to your sins. And, okay. I'm going to ask you a simple question. And it's really important to everything I'm saying right now. What is repent? Asking forgiveness, okay. Anyone got any other definitions? Asking forgiveness from? Asking forgiveness from whom? God, okay. God, Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, that guy. Asking God for forgiveness. Is there anything more to that than anything more to repentance? I can't hear everyone. Making a 180, turning around. All right. In simple terms, Jesus told the woman who come to him that was caught in the act of adultery, and she was thrown down in front of him, and he spared her life from being killed by the judging crowd around her. He talked to her, and he said, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. That means if you're a thief, you don't steal anymore. That means if you're a liar, you don't lie anymore. That means if you have been a fornicator, you go and fornicate. Have no more of sex outside of marriage. It means that if you are full of hatred, you go forth and forgive others. It means this sin in your life has to be gone forevermore. If you skip that, then the rest of the list, baptism does you no good. The Holy Ghost will do you no good. In fact, the Holy Ghost will not be able to enter into your life as long as you have not repented. If you have sinned, God cannot come into your life. If you are sinning, God, the Holy Ghost cannot come inside of you. The Holy Ghost cannot live inside of you. God's Spirit can't live in you if you have not repented. It is of an absolute necessity. And that's what these men had done. These men were repented. They were not living sinful lives. They had turned away from their sins. But they had not experienced everything God had for them. And because they had only repented, they could not go further in God than the experience that God had for them. They could go no further. God couldn't speak to them. That's why a preacher came to them and told them, there's more to this. And when they heard that there was more, they gladly received the word. You see, there, we need repentance. But we also need more than that. The next step, he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why do we need to be baptized? To wash everything away. Would you believe me if I told you that there's more to it than that? Yeah, we love that statement. It washes the sins away. But there's more to it than that. All of you people in this room that are having issues with knowing who am I, baptism is the answer to your question. There's a song by Casting Crowns. Who am I? Who am I? And it ends with this refrain. I am yours. I am yours. That's where, if you want to know who you are, the answer is that you belong to Jesus. You have been bought with a price. You have been redeemed by His blood. You are set free. And it's all in the name of Jesus. You are inside of a church that uses the label Christian. That means belonging to Christ. We are Christ's people. We are of the Lord. We are trying to be the people of Jesus. We are trying to live a life after the name of Jesus. A few times, Pastor has called us the people of the name. And the reason we say that is because we are baptized in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. You've heard it said that whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. You've probably heard it. You probably heard it today. Actually, it was very blatantly stated today. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. Somebody shout out the name of Jesus. Call on the name. And when he said, when we pray, when we laid our hands on Tristan, he said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. When we were laying hands on people, we were saying, in the name of Jesus. So it goes without saying, if we pray in the name of Jesus, if we live in the name of Jesus, there are some people who start their car in the name of Jesus. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. If you have been baptized any other way but the name of Jesus, you need to be baptized in His name. Because if you've not been baptized in His name, You have not been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You have not had your house washed out. Like you said, it's to wash everything away. But it's so much more than just to have everything washed away. It's because when we repent, our sins are killed and dead and removed and not on our record anymore. But the problem is, it's for the remission of your sins. It's for the removal of your sins. It's saying it ain't coming back no more. It's not able to be attached anymore. It's not able to be remembered anymore. It's to be washed away. No one can access your records anymore. The devil may call on it. He may try to remind you of it. But at that time, you can't access the record anymore. It's not going to pop up in the search history in heaven anymore. It's not accessed. It's off the record. Amen. It's removed. It's gone. Your sin has gone away. But more than that, it gives you the authority that you have been baptized in the name of Jesus. That means that now you are a son of God in His eyes. You are a daughter of God in His eyes. The name of Jesus is applied to your life. When you got baptized in Jesus' name, you walking into the room has the same authority as when He walks into the room. You walking into the room is the same authority as Jesus walking into the room. And we've heard it in this place. When you walk into the room, everything changes. Everything changes when you walk into the room. You see, if someone that's baptized in the name of Jesus walks into the name of the room, it walks into the room, the name of Jesus has walked into the room. When you pray in Jesus' name, things will start to change. Things will change. And if you can't access that, if you've not been baptized in Jesus' name, and you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, because that will give you the authority of the name of Jesus behind your words. We need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Every step matters. Now, I know there are people in this room who have received the Holy Ghost who have not been baptized in Jesus' name. Here's the problem. If the name of Jesus has never been attached to your life, the people of Jesus is who's walking into heaven. You are missing a critical aspect of the experience that's available to you on earth. You are missing a critical aspect. There are some things you just can't do without being baptized in Jesus' name. When the name of Jesus is not applied to your life, it makes it awful hard for you to call on the name of Jesus. To pray in Jesus' name. To pray in Jesus' name. Break this thing. In Jesus' name, change the situation. In Jesus' name, we call on the name of Jesus. But if you feel empty and hollow when we were speaking about the name of Jesus, it is likely because you've not had it applied to your life. You've not had it applied to your life. Because if you've never had the name applied to your life, it is impossible for it in that way. We've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. If you've not been baptized, get in touch. Get in touch with somebody. Send a message. Do something and say, hey, I need to be baptized. Before we leave today, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And finally, he said, when they were baptized, they received the Holy Ghost. We talked about it today. We read it today. Acts chapter 19. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. The baptism happened first. Now I know. People receive it without being baptized. In fact, it happens in the Bible that way. A few chapters earlier, Peter had shown up and went to a man named Cornelius. He didn't even finish preaching. They started speaking in tongues. They received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then they were baptized. But this whole thing matters. You need it. And it needs to be in the name of Jesus. Because as I said, that's where the power is. The power is in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. You don't feel like you have authority over the devil. If you'll get baptized and get the name of Jesus applied to your life, there's a reason when they went to... There's a reason when that demon saw the sons of Sceva in the Bible. He said, I know who Jesus is, but I don't know who you are. Your name and Jesus' name need to be tied together. It's got to happen that way. Your name needs to be on the account of Jesus. If your name's not on the account, it don't work. If your name and Jesus' name ain't linked in the account, it's not going to work. You attempt... pulling out a check and your name's not attached to the account, it's not going to work if the name that is attached to the account ain't signed on to it. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And finally, you've got to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It said that He laid His hands on them and they spake with tongues. They received the Holy Ghost. Received the Holy Ghost. Now this may feel incredibly obvious, but I'll bet you it's not. What's the point of receiving the Holy Ghost? To be reborn. It's a good word. Anyone else? God's Spirit comes on you, okay? Anyone else got any other? What's the point of receiving the Holy Ghost? To receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you? Anyone else? Got anything else? Okay. Power to be witnesses. Anything else? It's a comforter. It's a reminder. Anyone else? Come on. I'm looking for non-pastor and pastor's wife to answer this question. And Bobby did answer the question. Good job. Okay. The Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? Tristan, it's the Spirit of Jesus. Good job. It is God's Spirit. When Jesus was crucified, He died. Then He was buried. He rose again on the third day. And when He rose again, He rose up with power. That power was the Holy Ghost. He rose up and he said, I'm not yet been glorified, though there's more to it. He ascended into heaven. When He ascended into heaven, He gave the power. He said, go tarry in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. And when they received power, they spake with other tongues. There was cloven tongues like a fire that set on each of them. Sound like a rushing mighty wind came through the whole house where they were sitting. And then, after that, when they were speaking in tongues and people all showed up all around, they said, what is this? And suddenly, Peter stood up, the same man who just days before, had denied that he even knew who Jesus was, now had been reborn, transformed, given power. And he was able to stand up and say, men and brethren, these men are not drunk as ye suppose. And then he continued to expound to them in a powerful way. He told them what was up. The reason he was able to do this was because he had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Next chapter. We get to the next chapter and he is walking. Peter and John are walking. And they come to the gate and they see a beggar sitting there. This beggar is not able to walk. He's not able to walk. And he's been sitting there. And they walk up to him. And he says, I'm not getting any money to give you, man, but I'll give you what I got. And he reached out to him. He said, look on us. And the man looked at him and he lifted up his hand and he said, stand up and walk. Rise up and walk by the power of the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And he did. And he didn't just walk. He went running and leaping into the temple. He was fully healed. Why was he able to do that? Because what I do have is that I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, he was able to rise up and walk. We hear plenty more stories all throughout the Bible. We hear plenty more of those stories. We hear stories of people that are healed. We hear stories of people whose lives are transformed. We hear stories of people who turn away from sin and are given special gifts to prophesy. They're given special gifts to interpret tongues. They're given special gifts to speak in tongues. They're given special gifts to be able to cast out devils. They're given special gifts to be able to see miracles happen. And this is by the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, we read about gifts of the Spirit. We read about the fruit of the Spirit. If you're wondering why you don't have joy in your life, you need the Holy Ghost. If you're wondering why you don't have peace in your life, you need the Holy Ghost. If you're wondering why you can't seem to love people, you need the Holy Ghost. If you're wondering why you just can't control your temper, you need the Holy Ghost. Because this is all the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, long-suffering. That is the power of the Holy Ghost. It's to see your life transformed. It's to see miracles happen. If you can't seem to figure out what's up with this church, if you can't seem to figure out, why can't I worship like you guys? Why can't I? I just don't feel it. I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. You need the Holy Ghost. You need your life transformed. It's what's going to break you free from sin. It's what's going to break you free from the hole that you're in. It's what's going to bring you out. And it's what... And you need every one of these things, or you can't enter into the kingdom of God. That's the most critical thing here. It's not just about getting up here acting silly and speaking in other tongues. Some people, honestly, I think you think that's what we mean, right? When we say, you need to receive the Holy Ghost, you think we mean... You need to go up there and move around like a weirdo and speak in other tongues. No. You need the Holy Ghost because you need to be able to have the fruit of the Spirit. You need the Holy Ghost because you need to be able to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You need the Holy Ghost because God wants to use you to minister to people, to reach people that have never been reached. You need the Holy Ghost because it is the only way to reach the full potential that God has for your life. You need the Holy Ghost because it's the only way that you're going to make heaven your home. To operate in the fullness, abundant life that God has for you, you've got to get the Holy Ghost. And truly, God wants to change every one of your lives. And every single one of these steps matters. Every part of this matters. Everything that I have talked about today matters. We need God's Spirit. We need God's name. And we need to turn away from our sins. We've got to believe this at the core of our being. We've got to know this at the core of our being. And we've got to live this at the core of our being. We cannot enter into the kingdom of God without being born again of the water and of the Spirit. We can't enter into the kingdom of God as long as we live this life that we're living right now. As long as we're trapped in sin, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We need to see lives transformed. I am... Bethany, come... I am sick and tired of entering into services where it looks like no one has changed. Pastor was absolutely on point with everything he said today. We cannot continue to leave services unchanged. We cannot continue to leave the same way that we came. If you're feeling broken, you need God's Spirit. If you're feeling lost, you need God's Spirit. If you're feeling like you don't know who you are, you need the name of Jesus applied to your life. If you are wondering, what's up, what's next, what am I going to do? You've got to live out. You need to be saved. You need to be born again by the power of the name of Jesus. You need to be born again by the Spirit of God. You need this in your life. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we've got to have you. Jesus, you're the only way that we're ever going to make it. So I'm just going to make this abundantly clear and incredibly easy. I want to make this incredibly easy. Because it is incredibly simple. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, tell Pastor, tell Brother Texas, tell me, tell somebody. And we can get you baptized in the name of Jesus and have the name of Jesus applied to your life. If you have never repented, that's what these altars are for. That's what your seat's for. That's what the bus ride home's for. You can repent today, and all you have to do is say, Jesus, I'm sorry for every sin I've ever committed. And God, I don't want to do it ever again. And mean it from the sincerest hole at the bottom of your heart. Never receive the Holy Ghost, well, that's really easy too. It's really simple. Once you've repented, once you've asked God for forgiveness, once you've cleared the hatred out of your heart, once you've asked God to break away all the thievery, all the lust, all the lies, everything out of your heart, then you just say, Jesus, I need you today. I want your Spirit. I want the Holy Ghost from you, God. I need this thing, Lord. It's necessary. So, let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. Everyone in the room, please stand. I want you to pray with me out loud. Use your words, but follow my lead. We're going to repent today, and I implore you, search your heart deeply. Ask God to reveal everything to you that you have done wrong. Ask Him. I pray, God, that you would put conviction on this church today, that we would be able to have our hearts pricked for what we've done wrong to hurt you, Lord. Lord God, I pray that you would search my heart. Search me and know me, God. Lord, clean everything out of me. Clean out every wrongdoing I've ever done. Clean out everything I've ever done wrong. Lord, forgive me for every sin. Forgive me for every lie. Forgive me for every lazy moment. Every moment when I should have done something that I didn't do. Every moment when I did something that I shouldn't have done. Everything. Search my entire life from the beginning until this very moment and this very day. Please forgive me. Forgive me for every evil intention. Forgive me for every plan that I've had to do something wrong, God. Please, God, forgive me for everything that I've done to displease you, Lord God. And Lord, give me the strength. Give me the power to not be able to do this ever again. Guide me to never again sin before you, Lord. Change my very soul, Lord God. Remake me in your image. Change me into being more like you. Every moment of every day, Lord, I want to be like you, Jesus. And if you have sincerely repented, if you sincerely ask God for forgiveness, then I invite you. I invite invite you to receive the Holy Ghost today. If you've ever received the Holy Ghost before, let's reactivate it again. So, I ask you, if you all would, I would like you all to come up here into the altar area. I ask you, don't kneel at the altar. Because what I'm asking you to do, sure, it might work at the word kneeling down, but you know what? Don't kneel. Let's all stand together up here. And everyone else is going to be doing it, so there's no need to look around, no need to worry about anyone else. Don't worry about anyone else around you. We're all going to do this together. We're all going to be laying up here. We're all going to be, once you get up here, I pray, stand and close your eyes. Let's close our eyes, all of us. No need to look around because everyone's closing their eyes, Preston. Let's all close our eyes. Look up. Tilt your heads upward. We're going to tilt our heads upward. We're going to lift our hands towards heaven. If you bump into someone, just move over a little bit. We're going to lift our hands towards heaven. We're going to lift our heads towards heaven. And we're going to call out. Call out loud. Jesus! I didn't hear anybody, so let's do it again. Jesus, we need you right now. Jesus, I want your spirit. Jesus, pour out the Holy Ghost on us today. Lord, by the power of your word, Jesus, by the power of your name, Lord, I pray that you would pour out your spirit on each and every one of us today. Let's praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do today. We thank you for your awesome power. We praise you for your excellent greatness. We thank you for everything that you've done, Lord, and that you're going to change these people, that you're going to fill them with your spirit, and that you're going to lead us today. Let's all keep on praying. Keep on praying. Let's praise the Lord today. Should be you this morning.